Penny, Penny, Penny.
I'm ready.
Book smash.
But Arbiter friend?
Am I not the captain of this ship?
You're a wizard, Harry.
Shadow Claw Jutsu!
Misty Messenger.
And the Billboard Music Award goes to... BTS!
Winter is coming.
Hello, Larry.
Hey, how you doing?
Bye-bye!
Hello, 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 and welcome to Let's Talk Fandoms, a podcast where we talk about all things fandom. And today, I've got someone who not only makes me laugh, but has one of the brightest souls ever. She's incredibly kind, a lover of all animals, and someone who I've gotten really close to in the last few years. I would like to welcome you guys and introduce you to Miss Grace Hinkle.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. It's so much fun. For all of you guys who don't know, Grace was one of the Fantastic Six that helped start Fandom Society in college with me.
I'm so excited. And I'm so glad when I heard you were making a podcast and you reached out, I was like, that's perfect. It's like Fandom Society in podcast form. And that is, that's the dream. That's the dream.
Really, that is the dream. If I could just live in Fandom Society forever.
Live in Fandom Society. Because really, like, Fandom Society for me is one of the things that, like, I and we have done that I'm, like, the most proud of. Like, I'm so proud of us for making that, especially, like, when we did the Yule Ball. We made our Harry Potter dance. Like, I was thinking about it a few weeks ago, and I was like, that's one of the things, like, that was the culmination of all our efforts, and it's one of the things I'm, like, most proud of doing in college.
We got so much positive support for the Yule Ball. It was so wonderful. Really, any, like, events that we got to do within Fandom Society, I remember when, like, Fandom Society got to be a part of my job, and we did a whole, like, Guitar Hero event, like, at my job. It was really cool being able to meld the two. We went to a Renaissance festival together. That was really fun.
I miss going to the Ren Fair with Fandom Society so much. That was so fun. I just miss Ren Fairs in general, you know.
I really miss, like, the community that Fandom Society allowed us to have in college. And so I'm so happy that I've gotten so much positive support for the podcast, and so many people have reached out to me to be a part of it. It's basically just talking one-on-one to Fandom Society members. It's so much fun and really, really cool. And I love the topics. And I love our topic that we're talking about today.
Yes, I'm so excited to talk about this. It's going to be great.
Do you remember how you and I first met?
We met freshman year because I was friends with Nick, and obviously you were with Nick at the time. And so I remember we would, like, go to lunch after biology class, and you would meet us there. And I was like, oh, who is this person? And then we would, you know, eat lunch together with the same people. And then it was the year after that, when you were, Mr. Stern was your advisor.
Yep.
And was in his class. Maybe Reagan had talked to you about how great we thought Mr. Stern was.
You're absolutely right. I forgot about that.
Because he was, you know, the greatest. Love him. Shout out to Mr. Stern.
Oh my gosh.
And then that's when I believe you had talked to him about Fandom Society. And then he was like, oh, you know, these two people who are in my class, you should ask them. And that's how we kind of got, like, closer than just eating lunch together at the same time.
So, fun fact, he was the one who was like, you know, if you don't find an organization that you like, why not just start your own?
Why not make one?
And it didn't even, like, dawn on me. And so Francesca, my very close friend at the time, and I were just like, okay, like, what do we do?
here.
And and so he was the one where, like, you know, you guys are really interested in fandoms. Why don't you try to figure out a way to get people together? And I was just like, no one's going to join an organization where we just talk about fandoms.
Like, little did we know.
Little did we know. And I had reached out to Hunter because he was in one of my classes. Or actually, I didn't reach out to Hunter. I reached out to both of you first.
Yeah.
And then we went to Stern, and he was like, you need to have a male in your organization. And I was like, what?
Why? But okay.
But like, why? And why?
Really?
Obviously, thinking about it now, it's like, yeah, I guess like five women
can be a little intimidating.
And I think we were all pretty, like, strong-willed,
yeah.
You know, had our minds determined. So Hunter was definitely that one that was just like, maybe we should chill out.
Yeah, he's like, I'm here too, guys.
Yeah.
But in, like, a good way. In a good way.
The best way possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, like, how I remember us meeting, wow, you actually remember a lot more than I do. I know I have a terrible memory. I mean, honestly, the way that we got closer and really became friends was through fandoms.
Definitely. Yeah.
I definitely think that was kind of a stronger bond for us than just like sitting and eating lunch. How did you first get introduced to the term fandom?
I feel like it must have been like on the internet or something that I saw like fandom, like when people were talking about probably like Doctor Who or something, yeah. When they were talking about like the fandom of this, and I was like, oh, that's a word, okay.
Yeah.
But like being introduced to being like in a fandom, I mean, my parents are big Star Trek fans. I'm pretty sure they used to like go to conventions. Parents, if you're listening,
I love it.
Let me know if you ever went to conventions. If I'm wrong. Pretty sure they went to like conventions at some point in time. Maybe not regularly. They weren't like super convention people, but I think right. They did go. My dad has been a fan of Doctor Who like since the beginning. So he got me to watch it. Obviously, that's how parent relationships work. But yeah, fandoms, like I feel like the first time it was like, oh, there's a community for this. Is when I was in, like, high school or whatever, is when yeah. I, like, started using, like, Reddit, which I know Reddit has, like, some complications, but I would be like, oh, there are, like, these, like, subreddits for all these things that I like.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, there's one for The Office, which is one of my top five favorite shows. There's the Parks and Rec one. There's Harry Potter. There's Doctor Who. Like, there's all this stuff. And even, like, more obscure things, like book series that I like has, you know, a subreddit. Not a very active one, but it does exist.
There.
So yeah. It's nice to see, like, oh, okay, so, like, there are people that like this and are, like, vocal about it and are active about it. Which I didn't see all that much when I was younger because, like, I was homeschooled in, like, middle school. Which is kind of when that sort of blossoms, I think,
right.
When you start being more into stuff. And also, like, some different things that I would find, like, I'd be like, I know about this thing, and then I'd see, like, pictures or quotes or whatever, and then I would go and watch it.
Yeah.
It was, like, almost a gateway there. Like, The Princess Bride. Favorite movies now. Top five favorite movies. One favorite, and it's my dad's like favorite movie.
So how would you describe the term fandom?
I would say a fandom is like a community of people that all like the same thing and are passionate about that thing. It's not just like, oh, well, I like that, it's okay. All right, but people that genuinely love that thing. And as a community, it's not necessarily people that have to be super vocal and super outgoing and like go to all the conventions. It's just someone that's like, I love this thing. Like, I love, like, Sherlock Holmes. Like, I read all the books, watched Sherlock, love it. Watched Enola Holmes recently. Highly recommend it. It's really great because she's, you know, she's young. She's like a 16-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. But she's really, really smart. She's very clever and outspoken. Like, she was never taught, like, to be proper. Like, her mother did not teach her, like, you have to be proper. And so, I'm not going to give away any plot, but... because I think you should watch it.
I will definitely watch it. Yeah, no, it's I'm really, super excited.
It's just, it's fun. It's cute. It's like a fun mystery.
Ooh.
And then Sherlock and Mycroft are also there sometimes. Because they're not like main characters. They're like side characters.
Yeah.
It's really good. And I think it's a fun twist on Sherlock Holmes.
Perfect. This gets us right into our topic. Mm-hmm. Grace and I are going to be looking at, dissecting, and really kind of digesting female role models that are portrayed in young adult literature.
Yeah. Yeah. Love books. I'm a book kid.
Books are great. Books are wonderful.
Like a movie in your brain.
Growing up, I was never really one that was super, super into reading. Mm-hmm. I found it to be very frustrating for me. I was a very slow reader, and it became very hard, especially having to read in class out loud.
Oh yeah,
it was just such a stressful thing. And in high school, once again not sponsored, but in high school I really found Audible, and it changed my world. I love Audible, and Grace and I will get a little bit more into this book series, but I've been listening to The Lunar Chronicles through Audible, and oh, it's so nice to be able to, at least for me, it's so nice to just be able to like listen to a story and really understand it and digest it. Mm-hmm. And for me, Audible's just been a perfect thing, so I highly recommend it. It is not sponsored, but Audible, if you're out there listening to me, let me know how I can help you out.
Yeah, Audible, please sponsor. Please, please.
let's go. Sponsor, sponsor.
Sponsor, sponsor. But not sponsored, but we'll accept.
But we'll expect. Let's go.
Yeah, audiobooks are hard for me. Like, I like them because I feel like sometimes, like, the readers of these books, like, add, like, sometimes more personality to the characters. Like,
yes.
Read it in fun ways. But I, like... I'm kind of the opposite, where I read, like, really fast.
Okay.
Like, I'm a very fast reader, and I just, like, blow through books so fast, if I'm into it, obviously.
Okay.
And so, sometimes, like, if I'm listening to an audiobook, I'm like, I want this to go faster. I'm like, I want it to be faster, which I realize I could, like, set the speed at, like, 1.5 or whatever.
but then they but sound like hamsters.
Yeah, I'm like, gonna fast forward so I can really get into it. And I feel like the way I read a lot of times, I also tend to, like, skim over a lot of, like, description. Like, I read the descriptions, but I, like, I'm kind of like, okay, here's a big block of text where no one is speaking. I'm gonna kind of breeze through that a little bit.
Oh, wow!
Like, I wanna, like, picture what they're saying, so I read it, but I don't, like, read it.
I get you.
Not like, okay, I have to comprehend all of this. I'm kind of breezing through stuff.
When I first moved to Minnesota, right after graduation, I think one of the first things, because my aunt came with me, and one of the first things we did after dropping off all of my stuff was we, like, you know, looked around the little city that I was in, not even the main city, of Minneapolis.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not a little city.
Not a little city. We went to the Mall of America, and they have a Barnes & Nobles that is right next to it. And a really great book that I picked up is called All the Ever Afters.
Okay.
And I didn't realize how new it was. I think, yeah, we graduated in 2018. The book came out in 2018. But it's great. It is very similar to Wicked. It is the story of the evil stepmother and, like, from her young age to becoming the stepmother of a daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so good.
I love like twists on fairy tales like that.
Yeah.
Why I got into the Lunar Chronicles. I was at the library with my mom and I was picking up books in like the young adult section. I was in high school. And I saw like the cover with like the shoe on it. And I was like, oh, Cinder, what's this? And then I read it and I was like, oh, like it's a twist on Cinderella. I love that. And then I read it and I finished it and I was like, wait, that's how it ends? That's how it ends? And then I like, because I guess I had skipped the page where it was like, here's the rest of the books that will be in the series, but are not out yet. And so I like finished and then I looked and then I was like, what the heck? Where's the rest of it? And then I realized that it had come out. It had, like, just come out.
And
like, a full year.
Oh, no.
Scarlet came out, and then I read that immediately.
Yeah.
I had to wait a full year for Crest to come out. Read that immediately.
Yep.
And then I had to wait a full year for Winter to come out, and I was like, this is not what I wanted. But it was also kind of nice, like, being in, getting it into a series that's so new.
Yeah. Because
a lot of what I do when it comes to like TV shows is watching things after it's already over.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hey guys, I'm new to the fandom. And then there's no one there anymore.
Yeah.
It's been over for a decade. So I'm like, dang. So it's interesting being part of like a very new fandom.
Yeah.
It doesn't have like, I mean, it has, a lot of people have read it, but it doesn't have like a huge mainstream following.
I have literally been recommending this book to so many people.
Yay!
It is so
my favorite. Good. I have read this series so many times. Like, I just reread it recently because I own, I believe, like every book Marissa Meyer has written.
Ah!
Because I really like her writing. I think she writes really great characters.
She's really good.
I'm a big fan of hers. Big fan of her characters. I think she writes women and girls, like, amazingly. And in a way that I think makes them really great role models for their young, the young readers. And for myself. Like, when I read it, I'm like, gosh, she's so cool. I'm like, man, I wish I could do that. Oh, I see myself in that.
I completely agree. And I think you're absolutely right about how she writes these characters, these female characters, that while you're reading it, at least for me, while I was reading it, it almost seemed unattainable. But then as you think more about it, it's like, wait, I can do this.
I can like, be that person. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the difference between me and them other than the fact that they're an android?
Yeah.
You know, I am a full human with all my parts. That just means I can do more of it.
Yeah, it just means other things. And yeah, like Cinder is one of my favorite characters in that series.
Good.
Like I probably, of all like the four leads in that series, I'm not sure who I find the most relatable because I see myself like in all of them in different ways.
Yeah.
Like with Cinder, it's like she's kind of awkward and she's kind of like an outcast, but she's very smart and she's very capable and like strong and believes in her cause.
Yeah.
Like so much. Like she knows what she believes in and she goes for it.
I love specifically with Cinder because the way that you explained it to me when you suggested it was already really cool about, I am such a fan of overtly deconstructed storybook characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so far Marissa Myers is doing it so well.
Mm-hmm.
So well. I love the idea of this quote unquote Cinderella character who is half cyborg, who is a mechanic, who, although she has a very uncomfortable relationship with her stepmother and sister, she has a great relationship with the second sister.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh.
And that I was not expecting, and I loved it. I loved that was added.
I love that, because I feel like that's something they've done with Cinderella in the past.
Yes.
Like the Rodgers and Hammerstein. I think that in some versions of that, they have her like being friends with one of the sisters. And I think that's great, because like, just because like she's got this horrible, very hard life because of her circumstances, where she faces like prejudice because she's a cyborg. She faces prejudice because she's adopted, like she's an orphan. She faces all this stuff, and because she's a mechanic, she doesn't make a lot of money, like all this stuff where she's like dirty and grimy and people don't like that. But you know, it doesn't take away from those struggles to have her have a friend. And we love seeing like that, you know, this privileged girl that's her stepsister can be friends with this girl who is less privileged. And that's not a bad thing.
Something that I really like about specifically Cinder's book is I love a female character that don't need no man.
Yes, there is a love interest, but he's not the focus.
He's not the main focus.
Like, he's not just there to be a love interest. He's got his own stuff.
Exactly.
It's like the opposite, where like he's there to help her accomplish her goals. You know, like he's there to like pine after her.
She's and that's what it is.
Like me? Not let it like affect what she's doing. She's like, wait, why did the emperor invite me to the ball? That's weird.
That's weird.
I'm off.
And like, as much as I was very physically frustrated with the end of the book, it's a great ending. It leaves a lot of cliffhangers.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I really loved was that she didn't end up with the guy. She didn't end up with the emperor, which is just, like, good.
Yeah, it's like, the book, it's not just, like, happy ending right off the bat.
Right.
It's like, you get to that, you know, you have to deal with your own stuff before you get the happy ending with the emperor. Like, you gotta deal with some stuff. And, like, you know, they barely know each other at that point.
Barely know each other.
They know each other. Like, she knows she cares about him.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that. And she's like, I care about this guy. He's super nice. He doesn't...
Right.
He has not judged me for being a mechanic, but she's
afraid
what he'll think of her being a cyborg.
Yeah.
And he is so smitten with her. And it's so cute. And so it's like, you want to see how that's going to go.
Yeah.
But it's, you also know, like, they've got to get to know each other. They can't just, like,
run away.
Right away. They got to know each other first.
Yeah.
Something could be said for Scarlet and Wolf.
Oh, yes.
I love their relationship. I think it's so swoon. Like, oh my gosh. Oh.
So I've just gotten to the part where he's betrayed her, quote unquote. I'm still in the mindset that, like, no, he's good. I'm just waiting.
He's a good guy. We love him.
Like, I have a feeling that he's good. Like, he couldn't have done all of this for the pack. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I've just gotten to kind of the tail end of that where it's just so sad.
It's so sad.
And I'm just like, no, but I love how strong Cinder is. She has these morals. She's even in the beginning when she is in the restaurant and she starts a fight.
Yeah, with Scarlet starting the fight because she doesn't just the news saying that Cinder is evil. Like,
exactly.
And she's like, we don't know the whole story. Who is this girl? She's like 16 years old.
Right. You can't judge
her. And it's like, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scarlet, for being strong and outspoken.
Yes. On top of that, anytime, at least that I've noticed, anytime that someone says a falsehood or a negative about her grandmother, she is on it.
Yeah. She does not stand for that.
She's not taking it.
Yeah. She's so interesting because she's like, you know, there are different tropes in media of like, what girls are like.
Yeah.
And there's either like the, oh, I'm soft and pretty, and that's all that I am. And then there's, like, I'm a tough girl, and bleh, I'm kind of mean. And, like, that's almost where, like, people are like, oh, we have this strong, independent female character. And it's like, no, she's just mean.
Yeah.
Like, she just wants to, she just beats people up. That doesn't make her a good female character.
Yeah.
It doesn't make her bad either. But, right. You know, that's not necessarily what we're looking for. And that's why I like Scarlett, is because she kind of fits that, like, I'm a tough girl kind of, like, model. But she also, like, she cares about her family, like, so much. She cares about her grandmother, like, more than her own life. She cares about her farm. She cares about things besides just, I'm really tough, and I had brothers, so I know how to fight or whatever.
Right. I do think that she also genuinely cares about people.
Yes.
Just, like, as a whole.
Like, she... that's why she connected with Wolf. Because she saw him and saw there was, like a struggle there for him. And she, like, is attached to him because she wants to help him.
Yeah.
And he wants to help her, too.
Yeah.
Or so we think, or so...
So we think.
It's like, I don't know.
I don't know. I've got 3 more hours. Things might happen.
Anything could happen. So it's like, I think they're a very interesting couple because, like, they're both, like, that very, like, tough, strong protection instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Which very much fits that, like, wolf mold. Like, animal wolf. Like, that pack thing of, like, the alpha, like, protecting everyone, and, like, they're both alphas, you know? They both want to protect their people.
Yes. Just a heads up for people listening, we're talking about a street fighter who is in a gang, and they call themselves wolves.
Yes.
We're not talking about a real wolf.
No, not her. She's not in a relationship with a real wolf. I need to put that out there. Just want to clarify.
just a heads up.
Yeah, because the character, he goes by the name Wolf.
Uh-huh.
It's just so interesting, that dynamic compared to, like, Cinder and Kai's dynamic.
Well, even so Cinder and, oh, why can't I think of his name? The guy from jail.
Oh, Captain Cresswell Thorne.
Yep, Captain Cresswell Thorne. He's amazing.
I love Emperor Kai. I think he's, like, super dreamy, super love him.
Yeah.
I think he's, like, a really great opposite to Cinder. But, like, but Thorne, I think, is just, like, he's so debonair and so, like, he's like a rogue.
When they were describing Captain Thorne, and even listening to him, it makes me think of Flynn Rider.
Yes.
If Flynn Rider was maybe 10 years older, had spent a year in jail, like, in prison, and then had broken out, it's Captain Thorne.
Oh, yeah. He is 100% like Flynn Rider. In more ways than you know.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm ready. I'm so excited.
And I love his friendship that he develops with Cinder.
Yes.
And
it's
like, you know, I think it's very cool to show, like, solid male-female friendships.
Yes.
Because you never see that in books.
And it's, like, so frustrating.
In the first thing that comes to my mind is, like, Twilight. Because I just rewatched it with my sister. Because she'd never seen it, never read
it.
Okay. I mean, I just read them for the first time, like, 2 years ago, so whatever.
Moving on.
But in that, you know, she's got this friendship with Jacob, but she's, you know, she's not allowed to just be friends with Jacob. They can't be friends, even though that's what, from the beginning, especially in the book, that's all she said she wants. She's like,
yes!
Oh, friend, we're friends. End of story. We are friends. And he's like, but maybe. And she's like, no. It's Edward. Have you seen Edward? It's Edward.
I will say, Twilight was one of the first, like, book series that I had started and completed.
Yeah.
Because I was still in the process of reading Harry Potter.
Oh, okay.
At that time.
Uh-huh.
But it was one of the first, I mean, and granted, that's not counting like Judy Moody or Judy
Blume. Yeah, like younger level.
And yeah.
First, like, grown up.
First, like, quote unquote, yeah, grown up book series. Mm-hmm. And I remember, even at that age, I remember the first time I read the first book, I was in the car and we were going camping. Mm-hmm. And I got car sick, which was a whole thing, but not the point. But when I first read Twilight,
yes.
Within the first book, I became exceptionally irritated mm-hmm. with Jacob Black because, like you mentioned, it's very clearly stated by Bella that she's uninterested in a romantic relationship.
Yeah, she says it numerous times.
Many times! And then it gets to a point where it borders, even in the first book, it slightly borders on stalker-ish.
Yes, he's so concerned about her, and he just wants to make sure she's safe, but like, Jacob, back off.
Like, just call Charlie, it's cool.
Yeah.
Like stop.
She'll be fine. She's hanging with vampires, which is questionable, but like, leave her alone.
Well, like, and even, I'm trying to think, so like, by the third book, mm-hmm. it's so overboard to where it's...
Where he's like, you love me, I know it. She's
yeah!
like, you're my best friend. Like,
I really don't. Life
because you're my best friend. And he's like, but I love you, and I know you love me back. And then it gets to the point where, like, you know, she kisses him, and she's like, whoa.
That irritated me.
It bothered me so much.
Like, you didn't need to do any parts of that.
No. And it's like, I love a good love triangle. Like, who doesn't? Like...
Who doesn't love drama?
But, you know, you always have that one person in the triangle that you're rooting for.
Yeah.
And that's how it was with The Hunger Games. That's how it is with Twilight, where it's like, we know who's going to win.
Yeah.
Win out. Who's going to be the number one choice?
When I think of, like, peak love triangles... Mm-hmm. I don't know why, because I don't think it was, I mean, it didn't need to be, but I don't think it was all that dramatic, but I always think of, from Saved by the Bell, I always think of Zach Morris, Kelly Kapowski, and A.C. Slater. Always. Uh-huh. Always. Because I think it was done in a way that was so smart. Mm-hmm. We all knew Kelly and Zach were going to get together, but, like, Slater was there to, like, shake things up a little.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... I like a love triangle in that sense, where it's like, have a little, we know how it's going to end. Mm-hmm. We know Edward and Bella are going to be together.
Oh, yeah.
Because what's the point, if not?
Honest.
Like, what is Twilight series if they're not going to be together? Like, I don't want to get halfway through the series and then she ends up with Jacob.
I would be so pissed.
Yeah, and this is no criticism on Jacob. I think he's a very fun character. I think, honestly, the better choice. But for Bella, there was no option.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so I like to see, you know, bring it all the way back around.
All the way back.
Cinder and Thorn are friends, and there's no, like, will they, won't they?
There's no wavering.
Say they're friends, but are they going to be together? I like to see a male-female friendship that does not have one of them pining after the other.
Yeah.
I think that's super cool and super underrepresented.
Yeah.
Because it's always like, you know, The Hunger Games, Katniss and Gale, friends since they were kids. And she, you know, there was never any romance between them.
Never.
Never until she went to the games and got with PETA in that
sense. And that's the thing. Like, there was nothing there until she... you know, potentially showed a little bit of interest in someone else.
And then he got jealous, basically.
And then he got super angry!
So angry, and it's like, reading that, I know a lot of people love that, like, friends to lovers trope. And I also like it when it's not done in that sort of forced way. I like it
when there's substance.
When there's substance to it and not just, we need another guy for this love triangle.
Exactly. When there's actual evidence that, like, backs it up.
Yeah, when it's
I'm
like...
I'm here for it.
They both, like, had a crush on each other at some point, but maybe not at the same time, or something like that. Or they've had a crush on each other forever, but never said anything. And then together, that's what's good. Not just she got with someone else, so he's mad about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I want to see like an organic friendship that maybe does turn into a relationship, maybe not.
Speaking of like positive female role models, Katniss is amazing. I mean, a role model for the generation that started
the impact of the Hunger Games.
I mean,
crazy. I went to the midnight premiere for all of those movies.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. All four, I went at midnight.
Oh, wow.
And watched all of them. And I recently reread them because I was thinking about, like, Twilight and the love triangle and all that stuff. And I was like, and the new Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes had just come out. And so I was like, my mom sent it to me because I couldn't get it from the library, so she bought it for me.
Aw.
Love it. And so I read that, and I was like, well, now I need to read, like, the whole series over to see, like, how it connects.
Yeah.
So I got the first one from the library, and then I had to wait for the second one, and I was like, so then my mom bought me those two.
Go, Miss Inkle.
Thank you. Thank you, Connie. Love you.
Grace's mom is the best.
Shout out. Donna Hinkle. And so she sent them to me. She found them super cheap online and was like, here you go. So I was reading it, and like the love triangle in the books, barely there.
Yeah.
It's not, because similar to how we were talking about, like, Scarlet is so like protective of her family, and that's what makes her so interesting and like gives her depth. Katniss is the same way, where like she's that tough girl, she knows how to hunt, she knows how to do things, but she has that soft spot, I guess, for her sister, and even for her mom, who she doesn't necessarily get along with her mom, but she cares, and she wants to protect them and be there for them.
It is a fierce loyalty. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's what I really like about her, not only just like the fierce loyalty aspect of it, but like the idea of going into a situation knowing that you potentially could be one of, you know, however many children that could die for your, what is it, for their like community is terrifying. And not only that, but you now have to think about your younger sister who is now put into that situation.
Yeah.
The idea of just like putting yourself before them is such a strong thing to do.
It really is. And it's so interesting. Like, she doesn't even think about it.
Like, not for a minute.
They call her sister, and she's like, no, I'm doing this. Like, that's not happening.
Yeah.
Like, never. Like, that's her whole thing. Like, she cares. Like, she thinks a little bit about Gale before she leaves, because she's like, oh, my poor friend. But she does not think about him that much.
No.
Same with, like, PETA, where they're in the arena and she wants to protect him.
Yeah.
But she also knows if it comes down to it that she would kill him.
Survival. Yeah.
Like, reading it, there's the love triangle, but it's very minimal. And I was surprised because in the movies, they make it into this whole big thing. It was a whole big thing in like society.
Yeah.
Are you Team PETA or Team Gale? Team PETA, obviously. Edward, Team Jacob, Team whatever. And it was like a whole thing. And then in rereading it now, like as an adult, I'm like, wow, so that wasn't even like that big a deal.
Yeah. But
yeah, she wound up with PETA because he's the best option, obviously.
I mean, Josh Hutcherson, come on.
Josh Hutcherson, I mean.
How do you not choose him? We went to Terabithia with him. What the hell?
Yeah, we love him. And so, like, rereading it as an adult, it was not even that big a deal. It was present, but it wasn't the focus. And I made it out to be the focus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's something, and I understand why movies have to change things.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't fit an entire book into a movie. I totally get that.
Unfortunately, yes.
Something that made me very irritated with the movie adaptation, specifically within Harry Potter, mm-hmm. was the representation of Ginny Weasley.
So disappointing.
Was not only disappointing, but it was just so disheartening to the character that was written.
Yes.
And how strong she was, and how witty she was, and just... Mm-hmm. Such
and
a
so
great
confident in herself.
Yes.
Like, she was not shy. She wasn't
not at
shy
all
about her feelings. And she, like, wore her heart on her sleeve. Like, yeah, like in the book, she like dated all these guys and Harry got jealous.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, she was being like a normal like teenage girl.
Exactly.
Dating boys in high school.
Exactly.
I didn't do that, but She didn't go into it thinking she was going to marry Dean Thomas.
Right. Exactly.
A cute boy in her class.
That she wanted to see more of.
That she wanted to hang out with.
Like,
how horrible.
But, like, I think something that irritated me beyond that was just, I think she was even shown a lot less in the movies.
Very little.
There are scenes of her playing pranks with her brother.
Yes.
There are
how close she was with Fred and George.
I mean, it was
like, she was like one of them. She played Quidditch with them and she was good at it.
She was so good
at Quidditch. And we got what in the movies one scene?
Maybe one.
She played Quidditch it was when Harry was captain and they were doing the tryouts and she was also there.
She was already on the team, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like Ginny Weasley kicking butt on the Quidditch pitch.
I mean, just a phenomenal, strong female role model. Ginny Weasley is just one of those that you really have to read the book to understand mm-hmm. who she is. Because the movies do not do her justice.
They really don't. Which is nothing against, like, Bonnie Wright, who played her.
Right.
She's a fine actress. But it was just written in a way where Ginny was not given a personality.
Yeah.
He was like this kind of two-dimensional character who showed up in the second one. First one had a crush on Harry. And then like boom, 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 movie six, she's like super into him. And it's like, no,
just like
so because they are actually in the books a very good representation, I think, of that like friends to lovers trope.
Yes.
Of like they were just really good friends.
Yeah.
And she had a crush on him when she was younger. And she probably did when she was older too, but she didn't let it stop her from pursuing other relationships.
Yeah.
When she thought he wasn't interested. She was like, okay. Whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
And then he eventually realized how great she was.
And
that you love to see it. It's like, we love to see a strong girl being herself and a boy be like, wow, she's great.
Yeah, exactly.
How did I never know this? And it's like, we all knew it. You're just oblivious.
You're just, I need you to do better.
Do better. So, yeah. She's so great in the books. All those characters, especially the girls, are so much better in the books than they were done in the movies, I think.
Yeah.
I've been rewatching New Girl.
Love New Girl.
I love it so much.
Speaking of great female role models.
Yeah, Jessica Day. Amazing.
She is her own person.
She's her own person and similar, I think, to Winter, where like she's soft and feminine, but that doesn't mean anything. But there's this quote that she says when she's talking to you know, Nick has that lawyer girlfriend and like season and they don't get along
mm-hmm.
Because she just thinks like Jess is, you know, like too girly or whatever. And so Jess says, like, she's like, yeah, I break for birds. I rock a lot of polka dots. I have touched glitter in the last 24 hours, but that doesn't mean I'm not smart and tough and strong. And I'm like, that's like peak for me.
I love that so much.
Something to admire. Like, you can be your own person.
Mm-hmm.
And because sometimes in these books, when they're like, here's this tough girl character, usually written by a man. like that mold of being kind of scary and kind of tough. And oh, the only thing that can soften her up is this super handsome hunky boy that'll show her she can be sensitive. And so it's like, we've taken literature from telling girls they can only be like housewives to saying like, oh, you have to be a super spy with a gun. Like, there's an in-between. Like, show girls they can be who they are and to be confident in that. No matter if they love the color pink and wearing dresses, or they want to be a super spy who carries a gun. You can be both.
Speaking of super spies, I don't know if you ever watched a show called Totally Spies.
I've watched some of it. I watched all of it.
I used to watch it all the time.
Too. Like, they're super spies, but they also love shopping.
They love shopping. And like, each of them are their own different person. Granted, it is the very typical, like, you know, one of them is a blonde that it's a little, she's a little like clumsy little and loves to shop.
Yeah.
There's the redhead and she's like very sporty.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the, I think she's supposed to be Asian. I could be wrong, but,
she's dark hair.
She has, like, black hair.
Short, dark hair.
And where, you know, just, she's shown, you know, very much just wearing a lot of, like, more boyish-esque. Mm-hmm.
She's, like, the tomboy kind of dress.
Yeah, and she's very good at school and very awkward and uncomfortable around guys.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, beyond all of that, they're
so competent. Yeah. Like, she's got to just be blonde, but she's also very competent.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, she will whoop your butt.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing to see, is having, like, these groups of women.
Yeah.
And showing, like, they're all very different, so everyone watching or reading can find one or all that they find relatable.
Yeah.
Instead of just, we've got one girl in this book.
There's this one episode of Kim Possible that I really, really love. And I mean, once again, talk about a female role model. I mean, freaking amazing when that show came out.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an episode where Kim and her dad and Ron go back to like the farm where her dad's brother lives. Mm-hmm. And she's got a cousin that wants to be exactly like Kim.
Oh.
And there's this moment where Kim like sits her down and she's like, I do me because it's what I know I can do and I try to do it the best I can, but you should do you because you're the best at being you.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I mean, what a message.
Yeah, it's an amazing message that we don't get to see enough.
You really don't.
Like, I love that. Love seeing girls being themselves.
And, like, girls lifting up other girls. Ugh.
Yes, and telling, like, girls that they think they're great.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what it should be. We should build each other up.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to bring up, there's this show on Netflix that came out in 2018 that's still running now. I think the second season came out, I say recently, probably at least 6 months ago.
Uh-huh.
But it's called Disenchantment.
I have heard of it. It's animated, the same people that do like The Simpsons, right?
Yes, yes. Okay, so it's the same producer.
I have not watched it.
It's so good. It is so good. And it's basically about this like rough and tough girl that's a princess. And she's like, her dad really wants her to be like dainty and soft and kind. But she wears like tatted and ragged clothes. She always like has her hair up in a messy bun. She curses a lot. It's great. It's like, and she's great. And she goes on this like adventure with this elf who is very soft and like tries to be dainty. And it's just great seeing that dynamic.
Yeah.
And even when she's like attracted to another person, mm-hmm. she's still just like, okay, like this is me being soft, and it's not.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, I think it's cool to show that even like a girl like in love or has a crush or whatever does not mean that she's suddenly like, oh, I'm so soft and dainty now.
Yeah.
Like she's still herself, and yeah. that whoever she's interested in, like the boy or girl or whoever that she's into, likes that.
Yeah.
That they don't want to see her become someone she's not.
Yeah.
Which is why I love one of my absolute favorite books of all time. Another twist on Cinderella is Ella Enchanted.
Ah!
My favorite book. My favorite And, like, there's that part in the book. The movie's so different. So if you've only seen the movie, please read the book.
We love Anne Hathaway, but...
Movies are great, but they're not the same.
They're not. They're real. And it was shocking to me.
How different.
How different it was. When I saw the movie, and I was like, this is not... This isn't it.
Pairs have the same names. That's basically it.
yeah.
And it's so fun. Like, if you can separate, like, okay, I love this book, and I also like this movie.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do that when they
yeah.
do movie adaptations. But there's that part in the book where she gets sent to finishing school. And Prince Char is like, I don't want you to be finished. I like you the way you are. Write these letters to each other and stuff where I love it so much. We're so like, good. She's super cool and tough and emotional, she's sensitive, and she's really smart, like with the languages and things, like she's just so clever, and I like that he's cool with that.
He not only is he cool with it, he's into it.
He is into the fact she's smarter than him.
Yeah, he's heavily into it, and to me it almost seemed like he was worried that she was gonna change.
Yeah, he didn't want her to change because he likes the way she is.
Yeah.
And you see that a lot. There are a few different things where that happens, where it's like a girl gets sent to finishing school or whatever, and the boy's like, I don't know. I think you're great. They do that kind of in like Enola Holmes. She gets sent to finishing school at one point.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't want to be finished.
Like, I'm not done yet.
I don't want to be finished like that. I like this thing. But yeah, Ella Enchanted, I think, does that so well.
They really do.
Especially for a book, you know, it was written in the 90s?
Oh.
Read it in elementary school.
I was going to say.
Look it up.
Yeah, 97.
97. The year after I was born. weird. it's cool to see, like, you know, there's all these modern books that show this and modern movies that show this, but it's nice to see a book written, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That still did that and show that it's, like, a prominent thing, which I think is also, you sort of see in, like, Anne of Green Gables. Which I love.
Talk about a great book. I mean, so not good. Even the whole series.
I love just the whole series itself.
Because
in the first one, she's kind of like annoying.
Yeah.
In my opinion, she's a little annoying because she's almost like she's too much.
Yeah.
Like matures, but she's still herself. Mm-hmm. And even when she like grows up and becomes like this mother and housewife, and she's not a teacher anymore, and so she's still like quirky and imaginative. And it's nice to see that, like, Gilbert, he never wanted to change that.
He
liked her when they were kids because she smashed her chalkboard over his head because he made fun of her. She smashed her chalkboard on his head after he made fun of her hair, and then he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
What I like.
I remember, like, listening to the ideas of, like, a young girl
mm-hmm.
who was using her resources to be a better student. And not because she had to, but because it was something that she wanted to do.
She genuinely loved to learn.
She cared about her education. And so, and it's things
and
that,
she
like...
went to school, like, when she went to college. And she, it was her and Gilbert at the top of the class.
Yep.
And you love to see it. It's just...
And it's like, it's things that... I mean, talking about things that are attainable when you're reading it, when I was in boarding school, I would always, and I mean, even in college, I would always go to, like, office hours. I would go to extended, like, hours, because I knew that that was the only way that I was going to be able to keep up in my grades. That was going to be, like, how I could create those connections. And reading that, you know, a young girl who was serious about her education was taking those opportunities, for me, was just, like, that's something I can do. Like, that... You are a great representation of what I want to be.
Yes.
It was amazing.
What, like, a role model is to me. Yeah. It's like, it's someone that you can see yourself in. Someone who, like, shows you what you can be. And, like, is shows you a goal that you can reach for. And, like, whether it's personality-wise, like, oh, I want to be that outspoken. I want to be that strong. I want to be that compassionate. I want to be that, or sometimes like a hobby. I want to be that good with computers.
Yeah.
I want to learn to be a mechanic. I want to learn to fire a gun, like whatever. Like, I want to be really good with animals. Showing you like who you can be, I think, is what makes a role model great.
One of the first like fictional characters that I had like explicitly said out loud that I saw as a role model was Hermione Granger.
Yes.
And when I expressed this to my mom, the response that she had forever has stayed with me of, you know, a fictional character, like, you know, Hermione Granger's not a real person. She can't be your role model. And it crushed me when she said that.
Yes. That's defeating.
Yeah. Because I think, like, saying that to a young child who is discovering themselves and discovering what they want to be, it's very, I don't want to say it's belittling, but it's very much giving, like, to me it was like, oh, because she is a fictional character, things that she is doing and obtaining is fictional.
Yeah.
Which was so disheartening, because now, looking back at even, like, high school, college, I have very much realized that I am very much, or I see myself a lot when it comes to Hermione Granger, where I sit in the front of the classroom. I would always ask questions. I decided to have those relationships with my teachers to, for me to be a better student.
Yes. And I think, like, that's a, such a disheartening thing to say, not just to, like, your child, but to anyone.
Any child.
I think it's, like, it's not, like, I hate when people, like, put people down for liking things.
Yeah.
Like, depending on what it is, like, I love a pumpkin spice latte. Sorry, I like coffee that tastes good. Oh, I like this character and I really look up to them. Oh, but they're not real. So?
Right.
Like a character with some depth. Like,
oh no.
I want to be like them. Oh no, I want to be like a smart person. Ooh. And so, like, I think that's so important to keep in mind when, like, either, like, if you have children or meeting children or even adults, it's, like, praising people for the things they like.
Yeah.
And being, like, you like this thing? That's so cool. Like...
And it doesn't even have to be that you agree with it. Just acknowledge that it's there.
It's there and be like, oh, I haven't heard of that. Maybe I'll...
Right.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. Oh, that sounds like a cool character.
But, like, putting a negative connotation or even anything negative after is very destructive.
Yes. Yes.
And that's just not something that we need in people's lives.
Something that the world needs right now or ever.
Or ever, yeah.
Don't put people down for the things they like as long as it's not hurting anyone, you know?
As long as it's not breaking any major laws.
Not breaking any laws and not putting other people down.
Exactly.
Yeah. You don't have to tell me that you don't like something that I love. You don't have to put people down for the things they care about.
Yeah.
But yeah, and you know, I think it's also important when you do like things that are kind of trashy, like The Bachelor, Bachelorette, Twilight, if you consider that trashy, like being able to look at things critically.
Yeah.
Shows a lot of maturity. And it's hard. It's hard when you're reading something and you're like, okay, I'm enjoying this because I, you know, the love story sweeps you up and it's beautiful, but also being like, okay, why is Bella not someone for me to aspire to be?
Yeah.
Like, maybe she's relatable. And because, like, in some ways, she is a relatable character. Like,
yeah.
When you think of, like, a teenage girl and it's, like, you know, her first boyfriend and, like,
just very angsty.
In love with him and very angsty. Mm-hmm. And it's something you can relate to, but not necessarily something to look up to.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't consider her a good role model, because I think a role model is someone you relate to but look up to.
I think it also is like someone that you aspire to be, or to emulate traits that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bella, for me, is not someone I emulate to be.
No. No, it's not someone you necessarily want to be, but it doesn't mean you can't read it or watch it and be like, this is fun.
Right.
And I think it's cute. And when, like, they do things, or I think she can be funny or whatever, being able to look at things critically and understand yourself is a very hard thing to do. But that's why, like, my mom didn't let us read Twilight when we were younger. Because Bella was so, like, boy obsessed, I guess. You know, like, she made her personality about this man. And so, like, even though, like, it's a fun read, it's not necessarily something you want to read as, like, a child.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something to look for when you're looking for books, is trying to find a balance of, like, all right, who's a really cool female character I can look up to? Lunar Chronicles. Who's a really fun character I can just, like, read and have fun with because it's, like, a fun romance novel? Twilight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's good to have a good balance of both and understand what makes the characters good and what makes them not bad, but less good.
Less favorable.
What makes them less good?
Yeah. Speaking of young independent women, Roald Dahl's Matilda.
I love Matilda.
Was so fantastic when I read it.
Yes.
I mean, game changer.
As a kid, like, seeing this little, like, bookish girl have a lot of friends, like, doing things herself, it was like, oh, snap. <That's me.
laughs> Ooh, look at that.
I like books and don't have friends. Like, it just, you know, I think that's a really great character, and it's great to see, like, in a children's book, not a young adult book, that there are very interesting, dynamic characters that are very smart.
Yep.
That go for what they want.
Yep.
That they give you something to emulate, and you're like, Matilda loves books? I'm going to go to the library and read a bunch of books.
Right, but, yeah.
And same with, like, Miss Honey, you know? Like, she's so independent as well, and, like, she sees this child in need and helps her.
Yeah.
And it's great to see that, like, they're just really great characters. I love Matilda.
Yeah. I mean, amazing. Matilda is so fun. It's
so whimsical, but also very, like, grounded in a way. Like, you're reading it and you're not like, oh, this isn't real because there's magic. You're, like, reading it and you're like, yeah,
this is amazing.
Yeah, so good. I just love books.
Books are so fun.
Yeah,
because they take you out of this, like, real life situation. A book that I grew up with that took me out of this, like, real life situation. I was obsessed with mystery book growing up.
Yes.
And Nancy Drew was the girl for me.
She's the idol.
She was my icon.
I never read Nancy Drew, and I don't know why. I knew about Nancy Drew, and I don't know why I didn't read it. It just never happened for me.
Although Nancy Drew started, in 1930, a book that started in 1930 under the pseudonym of, what was it? It was Carolyn Keene, I think that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fantastic novels.
Yeah.
But not only that, the longevity of the character of Nancy Drew.
Yeah, the fact that, you know, we're still talking about Nancy Drew 90 years later.
And they're still coming out with more Nancy Drew stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember the movie that had
Emma Roberts
in it.
Uh-huh.
Golden. Thought it was
Love
a great
it.
Movie.
Yeah, I have seen that.
Recently learned about the video games that I know you have played.
Mm-hmm. They're so hard. They're so hard. Like, my sister and I had played Nancy Drew, Secret of Shadow Ranch, because we loved horses, so we played a lot of horse games.
Yes.
I remember being so hard, and we didn't finish it. Like, could not finish the game as a child. And so I recently, like last year, I bought it on Steam, and I was like, I'm going to play it. I'm going to finish it. And I was like, I'm going to do it without, like, any, like, guides. I'm just going to do it.
No cheat codes.
I had to use a guide. I had to use a walkthrough for a lot of different parts. They're hard games.
Yeah.
But, like, fun. And, like, it's just cool. It's fun to, like, solve a mystery.
It's amazing. I mean, absolutely fantastic. If you guys haven't read Nancy Drew, or if you have, like, a young daughter or son, and you want to find something to read them, the Nancy Drew series are so good. Books are just such a great way to explore the world.
It really is. It, like, shows you so much of the world while you're sitting in your own room, you know?
Yeah.
And shows you, like, these really fascinating worlds that you can't go to. Like, you know, I can't go to the future, unfortunately.
God.
I want to live in that utopia, you know? It's just very cool. But, yeah, I like books that do that, that show you, like, all these characters in these situations that you may never experience, but it's still relatable. Like, I'm not going to solve a mystery like Nancy Drew.
Right.
Maybe. There's still a chance.
I probably won't.
Probably won't, but maybe. But you can still see yourself in a character like that.
Yeah.
And it's just very cool.
Yeah.
I feel like there are a lot of, like, young girl shows that do that and show these different characters and mm-hmm. make them all kind of admirable, like My Little Pony, Stranger Things.
Yes. Magic,
which I have watched most of it. I'm not caught up, but I've watched most of it. And, like, you know, there's the six of them or whatever, and they're all very different. But it shows, like, oh, this one that's, like, a tomboy can still be friends with the one that loves fashion.
Yeah.
They have strengths in different ways. And that, like, the one that loves fashion, it doesn't mean that she's not strong. And the one that's, like, a tomboy, it doesn't mean she's not sensitive. Yeah. And so, like, I think it's really great when shows made for very young children show these very diverse groups of people or ponies or whoever and shows, like, that you can be friends with very diverse people.
Yeah.
And, like, it kind of destroys that idea of, like, a clique of, like, the preps and the jocks and the theater, the artsy students. Like, you can be friends with anybody no matter what you're like.
That is something that I think the fandom community and, like, the umbrella of fandoms really shows people who are willing to really kind of look more into the fandom community is that I don't think it's all about, oh, I'm super loyal to Harry Potter, but that doesn't mean that I'm not interested in anime.
Yeah.
And why should it mean that I also can't watch The Bachelorette?
Yeah, exactly. And, like, you know, I have friends that love Harry Potter, don't love The Bachelorette. I have friends that love The Bachelorette, don't love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it shows you can be friends with anybody as long as you have at least, like, one thing in common. You don't have to have everything in common.
Right.
Friendship interesting is... Yeah. They can show you different things.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what makes fandom so cool. Like, you know, I can like a fantasy book about dragons, but I can also love mystery novels and sci-fi.
Yeah.
Like, can love it all.
Unless you're making a movie called Aragorn that was trash. Don't do that.
Don't watch that one.
Don't watch that one. Read the book.
Yeah. Read that one. Don't watch it.
Don't watch it.
Yeah. That's why it's important to read a book before you watch the movie.
Or even if you watch it, or even if you read it after, just read the book.
Just read the book.
Like, you're going to get so much more character development. You're going to get so much more depth on the plot.
Yeah, exactly. You get so much more depth. Or even, like, maybe not even just read the book, like, find the source material, like,
yes,
like Avatar the Last Airbender.
No,
the best show like ever.
Oh
my gosh, I love it so much. And that has amazing characters. And then, you know, there was a certain movie that got made of it that we will not speak of.
We will not discuss.
I'm sure there are people that have seen that movie that never watched the show. I feel like it's so important when you're, like, watching a movie based on something to find out, like, what the source is.
Yeah.
And, like, go read it or watch it or play the game, you know?
Yeah. Games are, like, great.
Yeah, I love video games.
What fandom communities would you consider yourself to be a part of?
In terms of, like, a community...
Mm-hmm.
Definitely Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Just because I've been in it for so long, and I know there's a lot of stuff going on kind of in the Harry Potter community right now.
Yeah.
Which is complicated and has made it hard to be like, I love Harry Potter, because it's like...
It's definitely...
It taints your experience with it.
Yeah, so there's this podcast. I always recommend it to people anytime really Harry Potter is brought up in this podcast. It's called Potterless.
Okay.
And it's great. It's by this guy named Mike Schubert, and it's his journey through reading all of the Harry Potter books for the very first time.
Wow.
And when he starts it, I think he's like 23 or 24, and this was 4 years ago maybe.
Okay.
And it's really amazing seeing his progression. And now he's gotten a little bit farther from the books, where he did like all of the movies and then he did like the plays. But now he's really talking and has been really upfront about, like, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but to me it really sounds that, at least for me, it's very, like you mentioned, hard to be a very strong Harry Potter fan, because I love the books, I love the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that this person who created this world that you love so much is now stating things that you disagree, for me at least, that you disagree so heavily with. And so it gets to a point where I am so excited for the new Harry Potter game to come out.
Yeah. Yeah, but then also like, that.
Exactly. Like, but do I like, want to support that?
Because I love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I want to be in that world.
Yeah.
But so that's where it kind of comes back to thinking critically about what you're consuming in media.
Exactly.
Understanding who wrote it, who made it. And, like, you know, now that all this stuff has come out with her, it's like, people have been analyzing Harry Potter and finding, like, kind of her views almost in it. And so I think that you know, it's not saying like, don't read Harry Potter because bigoted or whatever.
Right.
But being able to read it and see like where the author's views come into it.
Uh-huh.
But then being able to be like, okay, I know she has said this, but here's how I'm going to think of it.
Yeah.
And being like, here's how this person has presented this media and presents themselves, but I'm going to choose to look at it differently. So it's very hard.
It's
hard to be a staunch Harry Potter supporter when you don't support the author.
Yeah, and it's very disheartening to think that, for me, this person that I had in such high regards, that almost in an instant, it was just and it hit me hard.
Yeah, it was upsetting when I saw it. I was, you know, at first I'm like trying to like justify it and be like, well,
and like analyze it
that much, like the characters, the world is so different. And then like she just kept digging that hole, digging a hole even deeper, and it's like, okay,
well, and
I'm
then
not gonna not love Harry Potter,
the book that she came out with.
Yes,
that was just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, like that's just digging it way deeper. Like there are stories that follow that kind of line in the past, like Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah,
does that same kind of thing where like the killer like dresses as a woman and stuff. And but you know, that was the 70s, 80s.
But also, it was done in a different tone,
in a different way. So
it
has been done before, but I don't think in our modern society, the way we are, we need that anymore.
Yeah, and for it to be so new.
We don't need to see it.
Yeah.
You need to understand, like, the world we live in and understand the people that are consuming your media and how it may hurt them. But yes, I still consider myself a Harry Potter fan. Other fandoms, I mean, definitely like Disney, obviously.
Disney's great.
Who would have thought that I would be?
For you guys who don't know, Grace works at Disney.
Yes. I live near Orlando and work for a mouse.
For a certain mouse.
I work for a certain mouse at a certain place.
And currently at this time of recording on 10/20/2020, she has just recently celebrated 1 year at Disney.
Yes. But yeah, so Disney for sure. So Harry Potter, Disney, Doctor Who. Love Doctor Who.
Yes.
A big fan. I have not read the comics, but I do love like Marvel and like the Avengers and stuff. Captain America is my favorite. I have so much Captain America stuff. And so that's definitely gotten me into like Captain Marvel, which I think is, she's so cool, like such an awesome role model.
Amazing.
And one of the best compliments like my mom has given me is that she thinks I'm like Captain Marvel. I think it's because she thinks I look like her more than behave like her. Like she watched it and she was like, you need to like get like a really good Captain Marvel costume. You need to like cosplay as her because you're her. And I'm like, that's the nicest thing you've ever said.
Thanks, Mom. Once again, go Miss Hinkle.
Yes, thank you. Talk about her a lot, I guess.
That's okay. Grace's mom is literally the bomb.
She's the best. Bomb.com. Donna Hinkle.
Donna Hinkle out here killing the game.
Yes. I watch a lot of like TV shows, like comedy TV shows. Like I love The Office.
Yeah.
Parks and Recreation.
Yes.
Arrested Development.
Yes.
Arrested Development. 30 Rock. Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
All of those ones, like The Good Place.
Okay, so.
Yeah, I love The Good Place.
I liked The Good Place until it all unraveled.
So, like, after the first season?
Yeah.
Have you watched beyond that? Or was it kind of like,
No, so, like, I tried, and I don't know, I just couldn't get into it.
The second season was hard to watch, because, like, he spent his whole first season, like, you know, with these characters, and they're developing, and then in the second series, season, it's like all broken down to the beginning again.
I will say I did think it was funny that their good place was their hell.
I know.
I didn't think that was a great concept.
It's a great twist. Like, did not see it coming.
Because I already originally loved what I thought was the original concept when you find out, you know, that she thinks she isn't meant to be there. I think that's already a fantastic concept. Yes. And then the fact that none of them
supposed to be there. Yes. Oh my gosh.
It was just so genius.
Cool. Yeah, like, I love all the actors in it, and they're so good. Like, oh my gosh, I love that show. But yeah, beginning of season two is hard.
So getting back to, like, female role models in young adult literature.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a topic that is talked about in either the fandom communities or in fandom culture or even just, like, in society?
Yeah, I don't see it that much. I think if you bring it up to people, they're like, oh, yeah. Like, if I talk about it, like, where I'm like, oh, like, I was telling people, like, I was going to record this with you. You know, I would say, like, oh, I'm going to talk about, like, the Lunar Crown. I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And I told people about that, and they're like, oh, yeah. Like, that's a really good topic. That's a good thing to talk about. But it's not something, like, they had ever really thought about before.
Yeah.
I think it's not something people are aware of until you make yourself aware of it.
Uh-huh.
So, which is why I want to talk about it, because it's like, you should be able to see yourself in the media you're consuming and see someone you look up to.
When you told me your topic, I was super, super happy, because a reason why I started this podcast was to talk about unconventional, uncomfortable, and real topics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And although fandoms in themselves are, you know, a specific book, a specific movie, you know, specific things, I love the idea of breaking it down and really talking about other aspects.
Like, what is the reason that you like that thing? Like, what keeps you coming back?
Exactly. Yeah. And just like you had mentioned, I definitely know I've talked to people about, you know, like, strong female leads. I've definitely talked about that. But something I haven't, like, sat down and talked with someone about is just female role models in books.
Yeah. Like, it's not something you, like, we all know, like, as women, we want to read books with women as the leads often because, you know, because that's what we want to see. We have to talk about, like, why that is. Like, why do I not want to read The Maze Runner? I read the first one, and sorry to say, I didn't like it that much. And I thought the concept was interesting. I thought the characters were okay. I didn't really get into it. And there are some books that do have interesting female characters, but you can still see kind of that it's, like, written by a man.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
definitely.
I love The Magicians. It's
okay,
the book series, I think it's a trilogy.
Okay.
And then it's also this amazing TV show on Sci-Fi.
Yes.
So fun. But, like, there are some times where, like, why do we need to talk about Alice's boobs in this book?
Yeah.
Like, why do we need to talk about how they look under the bedsheet or whatever? Like,
yeah.
I don't think that's necessary, Lev Grossman. Like, you have an interesting world and interesting characters. Just let them be interesting. Why do we have to talk about these characteristics? But, you know, just because it's written by a man doesn't mean I like it any less. But I have more to be, like, critical of. And it's not to say that female authors don't do that, because they often sometimes do.
Right.
It depends on the book and the series, but speaking generally, for books written by women with female leads.
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
I definitely think what made me super excited about your topic when you approached me about it was, I think it's such an important topic to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
granted, I am still unsure what the demographic for the podcast is going to be.
Yeah.
But I know that nearly all of the topics that I'm doing are going to be relatable to everyone at any age range.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that this topic can really meld so seamlessly into that made me really happy and made me really excited.
Yay.
Because it's a fun topic to talk about. Books are amazing, and they're so good to get involved in, especially at a young age. So why not read books with positive female characters in them?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, when we're all in like middle school and we read a ton, you just tear through books super fast.
Yeah.
Why not find a book with a character you look up to?
Yeah.
With attainable goals.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, she's amazing and beautiful and flawless. I can never be that. I look up to her, but I'll never be it. Do want to see a character with flaws.
Yeah, you do.
But who still, like, accomplishes their goals, yeah. You know? I just think, I love books. In general.
Books are great.
They're just so good and so interesting. And, yeah, it's... I don't think it is talked about that much because, you know, like a lot of times there are like books that are made like for boys, books for girls. And you see that like when you're a kid at like the Scholastic Book Fair, like you can
see
who's, what's for who. And it's nice to find a book that is good for anyone to read that has a female lead. Like it's not like, this is my bright pink book with the fluffy whatever and talks about boys, which is fine. As I said, I like fluffy girly things like The Bachelorette. But I think it's good to have a book that like boys and girls can read it and see themselves in the characters. Like I think it's really important for boys to read books with female leads.
Definitely.
And it's important for girls to read books with boys as female leads, but I feel like it's more important for boys to read female-led books because so much of media shows men.
Yeah.
And shows, like, their stories. I think it's important for these young men to see, like, girls are people, too.
I completely agree. What would you recommend to a friend? What would you recommend to the listeners?
A lot of things from a wide variety. Lunar Chronicles, obviously. Anything by Marissa Meyer, I think everyone should read because I think she's delightful. She also has a podcast that I have not listened to.
Really?
The Happy Writer podcast, something like that.
Oh.
I have not listened to it. But
I'll have to find it.
Yeah. I just finally finished watching Schitt's Creek. One of my favorite TV shows to ever exist. Everyone should watch it. I love it.
It's really good.
For podcasts, I love anything made by the McElroy brothers. So The Adventure Zone. This is my heart, man. I love it. I recently re-listened to their first campaign, and it is so good. They're in the middle of their third campaign now, which is called Graduation. Three brothers, they play D&D with their dad. It's the
so
best.
Cute.
Huntington, West Virginia, which is where my family lives.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Also, I love My Brother and Me. I'm all caught up now, which is unfortunate, which means I have to wait every week for a new episode to come out.
Oh.
There are 530 episodes.
Holy crud.
Yes. I've listened to the whole thing. I could talk about it all day. What else? I love The Great British Baking Show.
That's another thing.
It's just so positive.
It's so positive.
Yeah, you watch it and it just makes you feel good.
I was watching one the other day and there was a guy who someone had accidentally used his custard rather than their own.
Uh-huh.
And so then he used their custard. Hmm. And I was like, you're just so positive.
Positive, yeah. So that's another thing I really like. I really like finding, like, positivity in media.
Yes.
Yes. That's why I like Schitt's Creek. It's a very positive show to watch.
Yeah.
Like, just good and wholesome. That's why I like The Great British Baking Show.
Yeah.
Roy's, like, even though they make, like, some very crude jokes, it's still, like, they're brothers, and sometimes something will happen where it's, like, very just strong brother energy.
Yeah.
Where you're like, ooh, there's that big brother energy coming out. Feel like a family and
yeah,
all that stuff. I was recently rewatching Phineas and Ferb. It's so good. Could include that too. If you have not watched like Phineas and Ferb, please do.
Whenever I think about Phineas and Ferb, I always think of there's one song. Mm-hmm. That always makes me think of it, and it's the one that's like bow chicka bow wow. That's what my baby said. Bow wow wow, and my heart starts pumping.
Yeah,
yeah. I always think about that, and I'm just like, ah, so wholesome.
So good. I love the songs in that show.
They're so creative.
Yes, it's haven't watched that. Watch that. So now I've like finished it, and I'm like, what do I do now? I don't know yet. Still kind of trying to find a show. But one thing that I really like, I make everyone watch it, is it's like on Netflix. It's called Middleditch and Schwartz.
Oh, I don't know it.
Thomas Middleditch and Ben Schwartz, who are two actors, comedians. Uh-huh. Like Ben Schwartz is John Ralphio in Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
So he's that one. And so there are three of them, and it's like hour long. It's like a comedy special, but it's long form improv. Sounds super weird, but it's like, it's very weird and very cool.
I have been obsessed, and I think I've been obsessed for a pretty long time with Bob's Burgers.
I love Bob's Burgers, and it's back.
It's back.
Yes, that's another one where I'm like, it just came back. I'm here for it.
I am so sad that I have to wait every week for it, but I don't even care because
I watch it every week.
All the time. And I think I've mentioned this before, I play Bob's Burgers in the background when I'm doing like audio editing for the podcast.
Oh, uh-huh.
Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, God, I love it so much.
It's so positive.
Yeah.
It's like this very like fun family.
Yeah.
Family. Like, yes, they get into some extraordinary situations, but still at the heart of it, it's about a family.
And like, I think what I love so much about it is like the situations they get into are things that real people could get into.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I don't know how many people are going to have a cow in their kitchen.
Yeah,
but but it could happen. You never know.
Yeah, it's still like a weird situation, but grounded in reality. And I love Bob's Burgers.
Oh, I love it so much. Are there any projects? I don't think there are, but are there any like projects or anything that you might be working on currently?
Personal projects. I'm looking at my needlepoint, but I'm sure that's not what you're referring to. I do not have projects that I'm referring to, but
we are all concerned about your needlepoint.
Yeah, all concerned about my needlepoint. I've been working on it for months. I'm finally on to the butterflies. Finally getting there. Maybe I'll work on it tonight while watching The Bachelorette.
Maybe. You'll have to send me some pictures of your needlepoint.
Yes, I'll show you. It's coming together pretty well. So that's my personal project, but in terms of like professional project, not really.
I get that.
But you know, if you're looking for things that are related to my field, I always recommend like watching like nature documentaries, donating to your favorite organization. Like something I do is, and I always talk about like the best way to support wildlife. Like if you have a favorite animal, find out like what the like international blank day is.
Yeah.
And then on that day you can like post about it or like make a donation to an organization specifically for that animal on that day. So for me, it's rhinos.
Yeah.
I always like September 22nd is World Rhino Day, and I always donate like $25 or something to the International Rhino Foundation on September 22nd. So that's something I always recommend for people, is like, support the planet, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess if, you know, for projects that like Disney is doing, there's a new documentary by Nat Geo that is on Disney Plus about Animal Kingdom.
Ooh.
Spoiler alert, I'm not in it, so don't
look. Oh. Darn.
I am not in it, but it's very cute. It's, you know, it kind of shows a little bit of what goes on behind the scenes, both at the park and the lodge. So that's a cool thing if you're into Disney and also animals. Watching that is fun. It's very cute.
Yeah.
I like it. So I'm not in it, though, so don't look for me.
Are there any social medias that you want to plug?
I have an Instagram. It's ghanks52. Mm-hmm. I believe it's private right now, but my little icon, if you're questioning if you found me, is it's a picture of me wearing a little wilderness explorer outfit.
So cute. Grace, I want to thank you so much for being on the podcast with us. It has been a blast having you here and talking with you about female role models. I think this has been one that I've been super excited to talk about for a long time.
Yes, I am so glad that we finally got to do it. I've been looking forward to this for a while. As soon as I came up with the idea, I was like, yes, this is going to be great. Can't wait to talk to Tazita. It's going to be so fun. So I'm so glad you had me, and I'm so glad we were able to talk about this, because it's a really important topic. So
I agree. Yeah, very important topic. And Grace is someone that I always have so much fun with.
I have fun with you too. It's so good.
Thank you all so much for listening to my very first podcast. Let's Talk Fandoms is produced by Tazita Gant, created by Tazita Gant, edited by Tazita Gant, hosted by Tazita Gant, cover art done by Psych A Relic on Instagram. Intro music done by Riri Retro, also on Instagram. You can find all of their links in the description of this podcast on each episode. Remember to keep talking fandoms with us, along with everyone else you know. You can find Let's Talk Fandoms podcast on Instagram and Fandoms podcast on Twitter.